By the way, I watched it and I loved it so much. All right, let's dive right in. So, what would you say that your biggest, what is your biggest passion, by the way?
Whoa, before we get to that, Hannah, do you mind introducing what we're doing right now?
Yeah, so Rosh, Rosh is a little eager, but that is no
nervous. I'm so sorry.
So the first segment we're going to do is called the Fellow Five Questionnaire. So it's something that we ask all the guests that come on to our show, and we're really interested to hear everyone's different answers. So Rosh will ask you both these questions, and then it's more like just a getting to know you question. So they don't have to be a long answer, but just a really quick, like 1 to 2 word answer. So yeah, take it away, Rosh, the Fellow Five.
Okay. So what would you say is your biggest passion?
Your biggest passion?
Oh, my biggest passion is building dollhouses and things like that.
Yeah. Amazing.
Wow. I would say filmmaking, but also music and also art.
Wow.
Our appreciation.
So what is your relationship with disability?
With my disability? What do you mean?
What is your relationship with disability? The relationship with it?
Yeah, so it can be whatever you want it to mean. Your relationship could be like growing up with it, or it could be this is how it's in my life, whether it's my sibling or people I work with. It varies person to person. Yeah.
Growing up with my family, with my family, especially my mom and Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Catherine has a disability, but it doesn't define Catherine. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what about for you, Jessica?
Well, I'd say, I guess I know more about it because I was blessed to have Catherine as my sister.
Mm-hmm. So what is one thing on your bucket list?
Your bucket list. So one thing you want to do that you haven't done yet.
I have to think about that for a minute.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Well, a band on my bucket list is Nine Inch Nails, but I am going to go see them in August, so that one will get off my list. Yeah.
Do you have one to replace that, Jessica?
Oh, God, so many. It goes on and on. It's never ending, which is
fair enough.
The fun of that. Yeah. Well, actually, the next one is going to be Blue Rodeo. So that makes sense.
Love Blue Rodeo. Yeah. Maybe, Catherine, is there anything on your bucket list related to dollhouses? Is there something maybe you wanted to build that you haven't yet?
Mm.
Mm.
Oh.
Super cool. Have you ever seen the well, maybe you haven't seen because it's in Vancouver, but they have a mini movie theater where you can actually it's on the side of a building and you can look inside the building and then they're playing miniature movies, like full length movies. It's in East Vancouver somewhere. I'll find the link and share it with anyone else who's interested because it's such a cool little thing. But I think it's spreading like around Canada and around other places. So it's just a fun concept. Yeah. I think Catherine, you like miniature things, so you might be interested as well.
Yeah. More couches.
Yeah. And then cool. And Rosh.
I've seen some small books for my.
Yeah. You've got a little library, but.
Yeah.
But what's the next question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is that?
It's not surprising.
Oh, I wish I had that one.
That's what I'm going to do. So, what's a surprising or unique trait about yourself?
What is a surprising trait about yourself? Oh, I can't miss that.
About myself?
So cool.
I'm very talented.
Yeah, she's very talented. Yeah. That's not surprising. I can say one for Catherine. Yeah. She never forgets to take out garbage. Never. No.
So nice.
I do. Matthew reminds me. So
I do. Unfortunately, my cat passed away last year, and then my other cat passed away the year before that. So it was a rough past couple of years, but my mission is to get another one.
Be your sidekick. Is it that one right there?
And Rosh, is that it for the fellow five?
Fred the cat. He's watching us do this right now. Yeah, there's a painting of him in the film. So it's behind my mom when they're in the kitchen. That's Fred.
Yeah.
My mom made that painting. Yeah, because he doesn't really like other people, so we couldn't have him around the crew. But we wanted him in the film, so we just moved where that painting is normally, and we just put it in that spot so we could sort of have Fred join us. Yeah.
What's in the Hat? We'll be right back after this short break.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Come on, y'all. I said, are you ready for a comedy show? Well, then I need you.
Make your way down to the Birdhouse for the only stand-up comedy show in Canada featuring exclusively trans women. Our show, Trans Girls Raw and Uncut, has been featured on the Tyee, the Georgia Strait, and was the most attended local show at this year's Just for Laughs Festival. My name is Kay, and you can catch me and an iconic lineup of some of the country's funniest comedians on July 14th at 6:30 or 8:15. Tickets are on sale now at bit.ly/transcomedy and are expected to sell out, so grab yours soon, and I promise you a show that's unlike anything you've ever seen. That's bit.ly/transcomedy, and I'll see you there.
All right, back to the show.
All right.
Thank you for taking the Fellow Five questionnaire.
Cool.
Yay.
And I'll let Rosh take the lead on some questions related to Saturday, the actual film.
All right. So, can you explain in a few words what the documentary Saturday is about?
Do you want to go, Catherine?
Yeah. It's about my mom and me, mom and I. Spend Saturday building dollhouses and going shopping at Yalton and things like that. Yeah.
It's about my mom and my sister's relationship. It's also about family, and it's about believing in potential, believing in people's potential to that they have potential beyond what you can see, and giving them a chance to reach it. And helping them reach it. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so how long did it take to make the documentary?
Well, I'll take that one. Yeah. So the actual filming, we filmed in a little bit. We did some interviews in June, last June, and we did the filming in August. and we edited it in September into October. And then we did the final like color and sound mix in November, December. So it really didn't take that long, but we developed it for a couple of years before we did it. So I did a like a 9 month period of an investigate, and then like a 4 or 5 month period of development where we spent time. I spent time with my producer, just making sure that, you know, what approach we wanted to take. And, you know, I did some research on things that were related to the project, because even though it's about my family, you still want to kind of look around that subject matter to make sure that you're representing things properly, and that, you know, and also to get inspiration and ideas. So, yeah. So it took longer to develop than to actually make, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you find like the concept changed a lot, like from like what you originally envisioned, or it kind of like you stayed true to what you thought?
It stayed fairly true, but it refined a little bit. Certain things were kind of like, I had ideas, but I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just putting my ableism in place, and I was actually being conscientious of everything. And and then so I did a lot of work there just to ensure that my approach was authentic, but also wasn't accidentally insulting to anybody. I wanted to make sure I didn't do that, and that I was aware of things that are in a community that I'm only tangentially related to. So, you know, I don't want to pretend I know everything about things. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, that's like very important that you took like so much time to make sure that the perspective was taken. So,
yeah, I read this really great book by Elsa Sjørensen. I'm getting her name wrong, but it's called Being Seen. And she's a deafblind like writer, fencer, filmmaker. She's like this brilliant person out of Seattle. And that book really drove a couple points home to me, and I recommend anyone reading it, and I'll see if I can look up the proper name, because I'm bad with names. So
no worries.
Yeah, that was one of the books I read, and I really love that book.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of feelings came up for revisiting old memories in the film?
What feelings?
Yeah, like going down memory lane.
Yeah, Catherine, why don't you take that one?
Yeah. The film made me very happy, and it made me feel sad at the same time.
Mm. Kind of like bittersweet, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah. And it's going to be very good memory when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of beautiful, isn't it? I find some of like the most beautiful memories kind of make you happy and sad at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, I did get the name right. Elsa Sjørensen, but okay. I might be saying her last name wrong, but it's Sjørensen. Highly recommend reading that book.
Very cool.
This film makes me cry all the time. When I think like, you know, I've watched it, I don't know, hundreds of times at this point, but it still will like pull something out of me, and yeah, but it's a good cry. It's not a sad cry. It's a happy cry. Yeah.
Was part of that because of the to grab? I believe you said it was from your father. I think in another interview. What was it like? How were you, was it hard to get that footage, or like?
No, well, yeah, my dad, he filmed. Well, there was 20 hours. So during COVID, we weren't sure what was happening, and I. So I got all of the family film digitized professionally by a fellow in town, Richard Lawrence, amazing man. And and then I gave it to my parents to watch and then tell the stories against it, because Super 8 doesn't have any sound. It's video only. It's like visuals only. And so then I would take, and then I took their files and I kind of blended them together for the family, so you could know what the footage was and the story behind the footage, just in case. I don't know. And then so I watched all of the footage ahead of of developing this film, and I had a sense of what we had. But it's amazing. It's a really it's a treasure, really, that we have this footage. And he learned from his grandfather. His grandfather is a photojournalist in England, and he taught my dad how to film properly, how to light it, like not light it, but how to use light well, and how to frame it, and how to hold shots, and what to get. And my dad would just follow the formula every time. So we have so many scenes that you can put together. You can like sort of build these things together because the way my dad would cover us going to the zoo or something like that. So
I remember like watching seeing that footage. I thought it was like, it was really well shot. I was like amazed at that part, especially as like it's older footage. So you just find like that was just from your father, right? You wouldn't like think that, right? Especially my father isn't the greatest. But like, how much original footage did you actually have to end up cutting down to?
Well, how much we have like? I mean, okay, we have about 20 hours of footage. That's like the Super 8. Maybe 9 or 10 hours of that are trains. So then, we only use a very little bit of that family footage. And I mean, it's all our original footage. And it was good. I made a rough select of like 40 minutes of it. And then I worked with an editor who helped, because he's not connected to it. He picked things based on movement and color and timing and things like other kind of reasons. And then I would add a couple more things, and in the end we refined it. So it was a really good approach, because it's hard with your own family stuff to sometimes make these decisions, because I want to put things in for emotional reasons, but he's like, it's about the story. And I also like putting an Easter egg. So we kind of balanced between that, which was really good. Like I made sure that my grandfather was in there, that one piece of footage we have of him. His back is to us. We don't ever see his face, but it's in there. So, I wanted to make sure that was in there, and that my grandmother was in there, and my Auntie May, and other people as well. So, yeah. Mm. But no one will know this except for me, right? Putting them all in there. So, yeah.
So the movie shows a lot of quiet moments. Why is it important to show silence or stillness in the documentary?
Yeah. Well, I'll take this one, but you can tell me what you thought about it. It was a note, actually, interestingly enough, from my producer when we were kind of putting it together, and we were throwing temp audio music tracks down. And I am a big fan of music, so I like to put lots of music in. And she's like, let's kind of pull back, because, if you pull back, it emphasizes more when you hear it, or you don't have to completely get rid of it, but you can duck it down. And there's ways you can use the music to augment rather than just be there to fill in that. And then empty times, we like to fill in the voids when there's no space. And sometimes that means that we're relaxing, or it allows our brains to reconnect or make new connections, because we don't have sound there to kind of distract us or to pull our attention. Using silence or quieter moments helps with pacing. It helps with concentration. It helps kind of refine the story. There's so many different reasons to go that way. And it's interesting, like the quiet parts in there, but my mom and Catherine, you guys aren't really quiet together. You're quite funny. You're quite,
We talk a lot.
Yes. I was in the back seat of my mom's car when they let me join them for one of their, I think we were going garage sailing, and I was listening to them talk, and they just have a really funny sense, dry British sense of humor. Yeah. And it was just making me laugh so hard. I thought, these women are so funny. They need to be in a film, or they need to film about them. And so that sort of was like the beginning kernel of this film, was me listening to them talk and make jokes and the way they talk. Yeah. So, and you get a sense of that in the film. We actually caught them because they had a camera hidden in the film, like the car, when they were driving. There was nobody with them. And I think they forgot it was there. So that was like this beautiful moment when, she's talking about the butter.
Oh, I remember that. I hate that.
Because you guys did forget there was a camera in there, didn't you?
I just ignored it.
You just ignored it. Yeah. Smart. Yeah.
Did you find in the process of making the film, did you and your sister's relationship change at all?
Did our relationship change?
I think so.
Sounds good.
Yeah, for better.
You're not just saying that because I'm sitting here?
No. Since we lived together, our relationship has been better.
Yes. Yeah. In general, since we moved in, we bought this place together. And Catherine is probably the best roommate I've had out of all my roommates. I've had some really good ones, but yeah, she's my favorite one so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 They're really good on film, and they're used to being filmed. They're used to cameras, and they're not shy. I am not into being in front of a camera, as you can probably tell from our earlier conversation, mm-hmm. but they're totally into it. So, So it was really easy as a director working with them. It was very easy.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what advice would you give someone with a disability who wants to tell their story through film?
Ooh.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. Advice that you would give somebody who has a disability, wants to tell their story through film, kind of like how I made this film.
I think they would go to it.
Go. Well, like, what would they do?
They probably would ask their friends or family.
Yeah. Ask people you know that might know how to do it. And then look for resources online. Reach out to the National Film Board of Canada, because even if what they have going on isn't going to match your project, they know everybody and they will try. They will help you by giving you advice about how to go, where to go in your area. So in the Yukon, where I'm at, we've got a couple organizations. One is the Yukon Film Society, and it puts on like a 48-hour film festival where anyone can enter it, and you have 2 days to make a film. And so we usually get like 40 or 50 films. And sometimes they're films, and then other ones are just amazing, and all ages and all skill levels. Reach out to different organizations and friends or family who might have some skills. But you can also just use your own iPhone or Android or whatever. Yeah. And there's some tools on there that can help. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And Rosh is being humble, but she also has studied some film and creative industries herself. So yeah.
I did take film and theater at UBC.
Nice.
So if you were to give like someone like me advice on how to exactly the same question I just asked, but if you were to give someone like me that, what would be the approach?
The best thing to learn how to do anything is just to do it and do it a lot. You can have big goals, but just start with a small manageable things and start with like something simple. Use the tools that you have and then go from there and see if you like doing it. And then from there, progress and then start building a bigger, more complicated thing where you need more people to help you and grow from there. But don't stop doing it. Don't stop trying to do it. There's lots of great tools, free tools out there. I'm not familiar with a lot of them, but I know if you Google software, cell phones make a decent enough picture that you can use that for your camera. And then Google tips and tricks and ask advice and take the advice. Yeah. That's the problem, is people don't take advice sometimes.
Well, thanks, Rosh. We just have a few more questions, and then we're going to get into our hat segment, What's in the Hat? So my question for you, Catherine, is what do you enjoy most about building dollhouses? Is there anything specific that, like, part of the process that you like?
I like to collect the Victorian-style furniture and things like that. Yeah.
Cool. Like, so is it for you, like, part of the hunt, like, you know, actually, like, going to the stores and, like, finding hidden treasures? Is that kind of one of the most exciting parts? Yeah.
We go to the yard sale to try to find the things, like furniture, and go to the whisk factory, try to find furniture for the dollhouses. and I've been collecting some small books for my dollhouse.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That is so cool. And for anyone who hasn't seen the film yet, you have to see it and then see how they beautifully how you incorporate Catherine's dollhouses within the film. And you actually have a mini projector, which that was one of my favorite parts, was the mini projector. How'd you come up with the idea of that?
Well, my idea was actually originally was just I had a small dollhouse projector, but it didn't have any moving parts. And I was just going to let's just flash a light behind it. And so I was working with my DP. And that was one of the question marks, how is this going to turn out? And we're like, yeah, it's going to work itself out. But unbeknownst to us, the studio in Montreal 3D printed that, and they built the little things so that we could have it flash, so we could control how much it flashed. And then Peter Planta, who's my director of photography, then worked with that and figured out how to get it to be to get it looking good. I built the little screen. It's out of a Bic pen and a piece of paper and I trimmed it.
That's so cool. So,
yeah.
Oh, I love that, how detail oriented you show Catherine's work, and then also within the film itself, how detail oriented every little moment is, which is so cool.
Well, I was the prop master apparently on that. I was like, oh yeah, I guess I'd be the one to dress this. But we had instead of doing the Ken Burns effect where you talk about somebody and then you see a picture and it slowly fades in, I thought let's make pictures part of it and dress the house with the story of Catherine's life. And so that's how that so that's why the scene with them cutting those pictures out and dressing, they had a couple of them done, but we just did more for the film itself. And then so you could see her graduating and you could see her prom picture and you could see her winning a medal in a race, and you could see all of these things and these pictures. Pictures tell 1,000 words, so you don't have to say these things, you just show them. And so I liked how it tied into an action that we did in the doc, and then kind of also tied into the story. And that was a vision I had from the very early days, doing something like that, that kept it very, brought all of the elements together, the dollhouse element with the archival, with the observational. So those three elements, kind of those geeking out as a filmmaker there.
So cool. Yeah. Last question before we move on to some fun once in the hat questions is sent by Jenna, who is our fellow from Victoria and submitted a question. So her question for you both is,
people to take away from watching the movie.
Is there a message you hope people take away after watching Saturday?
Take away?
They watch it, and what do you want them to feel and think about?
Yeah, when they watch it, they can feel very happy to enjoy it, something like that.
Yeah. That's kind of similar. I want people to feel happy. I wanted it to be an approachable film that was a film about success in a successful life of somebody with my sister who has a disability, rather than something that was sadder or not focused on that. Not that those films aren't important, because they are, but my goal was to make it fun and relatable and happy. And if it was a color, it would be yellow, a nice pale light yellow.
I agree wholeheartedly.
What's in the hat? We'll be right back after this short break.
Who's gonna take your place? There ain't nobody better. Oh, baby, baby, we belong together, baby.
Girl, please quit crying over your ex and pick up a damn book. Or better yet, Discorder magazine. It's summer, and that means it's time to head to the club with a drink in one hand and Discorder magazine in the other. That's right, shake some ass while staying in touch with the local arts and culture community. All for free. You can pick up a physical copy of Discorder in locations all around the Lower Mainland, from Kits to Chinatown, Maine, and Commercial, as well as Hastings. For specific locations, check out citr.ca. There, you'll also be able to find a PDF of the June-July magazine issue. CITR and Discorder Magazine condones responsible drinking and responsible ass shaking. Thanks, love you, bye.
All right, back to the show.
So we have a few What's in the Hat questions. I'm going to start with, and Rosh, you can answer these too. It's somewhat movie related, film related, and let's see. Do you remember the first movie you saw in theaters?
Guess. Was it E.T.? Or was it something else? I don't remember.
The first one I remember seeing was the Muppet movie, but it could have also been the second Indiana Jones and the Temple of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
Probably the Muppet movie.
I just can't remember.
Yeah, but we would have been, you might have seen something before me though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was E.T. or something.
E.T.?
Yeah. Okay. Something.
What about you, Rosh? Can you remember the first movie you've seen in theaters, or about the first movie you remember?
I have no recollection of that, actually.
No recollections.
Nor do I.
I don't know. For me, it was not the first movie, but I definitely remember seeing like Kung Fu Panda. yeah. Okay. And for a few more.
I remember the theater because my mom snuck in popcorn.
Oh, yeah. That's always the move to put all the candy and stuff in your purse. I remember my mom would always go to the 99-cent store, all the candy there, and bring it with us. And here's a random one. What do you have any nicknames?
Oh.
Nope.
Not really, but they're J-Hall. I get called that by a couple of people in town, but nobody. Yeah, I like my full name. I like Jessica. People call you Kathy, though.
Kathy, but I don't really like Kathy.
You like Yeah. Yeah, she's like me. We like our full names. Yeah.
Mm. I know Rosh is a nickname or an alter ego name.
Actually, that's my preferred name.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's Rosh.
Yeah. Right? I like Rosh. Yeah. It's a great name.
All right, and just to finish off on a fun one, if you had to eat only one fruit for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I know what Catherine's would be. It would be a banana.
Yeah.
Classic.
Only one? Blackberries.
We had another person say blackberry. Yeah. That's the second one. Yeah.
I have a favorite. Mine is mango.
Mango, good choice.
Mango wasn't like the top three for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you put a banana in there, you can make a nice smoothie out of that.
I lied. Let's do one more. It's just a perfect question to finish off our interview today. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, what's your favorite movie of all time?
I like all kinds of movies, but I think my most favorite is Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
Bridesmaids, classic.
Good movie.
What about you?
Oh my God. I have too many favorite movies. I could go by maybe. I can't answer that.
That's a hard question. It's like picking your favorite song. It's so hard.
Do you have a favorite one maybe in the past 1 or 2 years?
So I always blank on this question and somebody else asked me this question. I have, yes, I, And then when you ask me, I blank out on all the films I've just watched.
I feel you.
But I can give you my television, my favorite television show, which is Star Trek Lower Decks. Okay. And then basically anything out of the Star Trek universe.
Oh, okay.
But weirdly enough, not the movies. Really? Although they're okay, but they're not like, I like the serial better than the movies. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I can't think of one. I'm like, now I can't even think of that movie. There's a bunch of movie posters in my house. I'm like, I see that.
Yeah. I have a favorite, but it's a Christmas one. Love Actually.
Oh, that's my favorite Christmas movie.
I like that movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a question for you guys. How old was Catherine when you were filming the whole documentary?
How old were you last year?
I'm 50. About 50 years old when this was filmed.
50 years old?
Yeah, 51.
Yes, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was 50.
Wow. It's a big accomplishment. That's so awesome.
Yeah, she does not look 50, does she?
No, not at all.
No, very young looking. Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on. And again, for anyone who hasn't seen the film yet, we really encourage you to go and check it out on the National Film Board's website. Did you have anything else either of you wanted to add for people to check out?
There's so many good films on the National Film Board app. You can actually, if you have a smart TV, you can download the app like Netflix or Disney or whatever, and it's free and there's no subscription and there's no ads. So it's really accessible, really simple to like, and then so many great short films and narrative, I think there's some narrative films, but it's mostly documentary and animation and then different links. But I just wanted to shout out to my producer, Terry, who was fantastic. And this film would never have been made without her from the beginning. So I don't think I shouted out enough to her in recent times. So I'm just shouting out to her now because she's such a lovely person. And she made it happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and she gave us these beautiful necklaces and I forgot to wear it. It's a Saturday. A nice script. And we wore them at our premiere, which was at the Available Light Film Festival in February. And our film was the short that opened for the feature that opened the festival. So it was very special.
It was a moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My whole family was there and all my friends. It was so great.
Oh my gosh, that is so awesome.
That was so good.
And before we go, if you don't mind me asking, we have a little thing at the end of each episode is where we ask our viewers a question. Do you have any questions you would like to ask to our viewers? It could be one that we did today or a fresh one that comes to your mind, but a question for our viewers.
What do you look for when you garage sale?
Oh, great question.
That is a great one. I know that I, like you, Catherine, in California, that it's also a Saturday where garage sales happen. So that's the day. That's the day of the hunt. So yeah, for anyone listening, what do you look for when you garage sale?
Yeah.
Well, thank you both. You definitely gave the happy and yellow aura that the film gives off, which makes us so happy. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to chat with us and have some fun. And Rosh, you have anything else to add?
Not really.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you. Thank you all. And we will catch you next time on What's in the Hat.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And that's a wrap on another episode of What's in the Hat. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our community. What's in the Hat is executive produced by Hannah Nolan and me, Matthew Ratchmat. Production, sound design, and editing by Matthew Ratchmat. Guest booking by Hannah Nolan. Music is Rise, Funk, and Trunk by Windows of Ken. Point, Counterpoint by John Patitucci. Water Park Radio Ad by Freedom Trail Studio, and Next Steps by Half Cool. This episode is hosted by both Hannah, Matthew, and Rosh. We want to give a special thanks to our guests, Jessica and Catherine Hall. Find the film Saturday at the National Film Board website at www.nfb.ca, and that is www.nfb.ca. What's in the Hat is a proud production of the Social Media Fellowship in partnership with Possibilities in British Columbia. If you like what you heard today, the best way you can support us is by sharing this episode with a friend or finding us and leaving us a review or like on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. It really helps new listeners find the show.